Amen. Good morning. Good to see each one of you. All other ground is sinking sand. You can build your life on just whatever you want to build it on. You have the liberty to do that. That's your freedom. That's your choice. We delivered some steel out into Wisconsin, and they're building a Microsoft building. And Microsoft didn't want to cut any corners, even though they were building on sandy ground. And all they had to do, I think, was go down, I think all they had to do was go down 60 feet, I think, according to the engineers. But Microsoft said, we're going to go down 120, I believe it was, with pylons. They were going to make sure that this building didn't move. And so when you go out there, it looks like they planted a lot of steel posts. It's just 120 foot. There's 60 foot in the ground. There's over, I guess it's 120 foot in the ground. Then they weld the third one on. And so there's three 60 footers welded together. And you got a bunch of 60 foot sticks standing up out there. That's their outside frame. But they were concerned about sinking sand. And we should be concerned about sinking sand. We should be concerned about what we build on, what we feed on, what our lives consist of. Because if it's not on the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's not a blood-bought saint standing on his righteousness, it's going to sink. You're going to go down. That's a promise. You can build on many things, friends, but only build on Christ is what's going to last. So with that, let's pray. Eternal Father, God, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. Father, we thank you that you have been so gracious to us. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful new day, for our able bodies, for the freedom to come and worship you, Lord, unhindered. Thank you, Lord, for changed lives. For those of us, Lord, that have and are building our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for changing us, giving us new desires. Your word tells us that you'll remove a stony heart and give us a heart of flesh, one that you can mold and shape. One that can hear your still small voice and be directed by it. Thank you so much, Father, for new life. Father, be with us. Bless us this hour. Help us to worship you. Help us to learn of you. Help us, Father, to... I pray, God, you'd help me to speak those things that would glorify you and would inspire your people, Lord. So we thank you, Father. Bless everyone that is here. Bless our fellowship today in Jesus' name. Amen. I was very encouraged with this morning, Brother Nate's question, are you good with the lifestyle that you live? Before God, you bring your lifestyle before the holy God of heaven, are you good with it? Now you might say, yeah, I think so. But is he good with it? Is he okay with it? Because that's what matters. And I think Nate was saying, are you sure it's all clear? Are you okay with that? Be sure. And a thought just from the children's lesson here. I was blessed by that. Thank you, Brother Zach. And I just want another word of encouragement for you children. How good do your ears really work? I heard my mom say that. I heard my dad say that. But did you really hear what they were trying to say? So sometimes as you get older... Sometimes you really want to go do something. You have something you really want to go do, and Dad says, nah, he's pretty hesitant. He's not too sure about that. But you didn't hear a no. You heard a, Dad, are you sure? I mean, Dad, I'd really like, and you keep pushing it. And finally, Dad's like, ah. But if you was listening, you heard no. You heard no, I'm concerned about this. No, it's not good. But if you're not listening, you don't hear that voice in that way. You have selective hearing. You hear what you want. Be careful with that. Well, this morning, I want to take us down memory lane just a little bit. There's a number of you families here that were part of the revival here in this community. You came from a setting that was dark. That was our lives. From drunkenness to drugs, immorality, all kinds of secret sins, that was our life. Bondage to all kinds of things. No victory to overcome. That was our lives. 20 plus years ago. Might be 25, 30 years ago. I don't know now. But that was our lives. And God met us. God changed us. We met God. We saw who we really were in the eyes of God. Any of us that thought we had something to stand on, self-righteousness, wasn't that pure religion. It was a religion that was defiled. But I ain't too bad. I don't look like that brother. I don't do quite as many things as that guy. I got it together. Even those men, when they came before the Word of God, each one of us had to say, I have sinned. I have sinned. I can't stand on my own righteousness. I need help. I need a Savior. I need to be delivered. You remember those times? It's for you older men. You remember those times? You women? God delivered you. God delivered you. You saw who you were. You remember when you got converted. One big theme that ran through most of the families, most of the couples that got converted, one big theme that ran through there was we want something different for our families. We want something different than what we had for our families. We don't want to train our children in the ways of ungodliness, wickedness. That was one theme that it was a desire of each one's heart. Have something different. To offer them life that they could choose from. A lot of you, when you got converted, and this excludes like Terry, that wouldn't include him because I think you were converted before you got married, right, brother? But a lot of us were not. We grew up religious, but it wasn't that pure religion that Brother Nate was talking about today. And so for a lot of us, we've had children before we were converted. And I thank God that He spared most of them with us. Most of them came with us. And so for a lot of you, your children that maybe now are 25 and 30 or 30 plus, I don't know how old everybody's children are, the older ones. They was probably, some of the older ones were maybe 5 to 8 years old, some of them. I don't know. But they were pretty young. How old was Corey when you made your decision?
Six.
And so that put a number of you older ones here, some of the younger married couples, that put you all down there at the 4, 5, 6 range. I know mine when my oldest, I think, was maybe 6 months when we made the decision. 6 months to a year, somewhere in there. But he was just a little guy. But I had that desire for something different than what I had. Now, I don't look down at the folks that I was part of. Not at all. I have a deep compassion for them that they could find life. But my heart is here is just for us to go down memory lane a little bit and think about. Think about where you were and what God did for you. And today's message is probably more for us as moms and dads. You younger ones can learn from it. But I was just thinking of how precious those times were. And we had a vision. And yet, we went through a time where we were a little off in our desire. We had a great desire to do what God wanted. But you know, without discipleship, you're going to miss the mark probably if you're just the one spearheading it all. And we did. But God was still gracious to bring us to that point as well. And so I was just pondering as I was reflecting over our families here, how that we started, there's a lot of you started with small children, a lot of us did. And then Now we have families here that are just getting started. They didn't start where we were. They weren't part of all that bondage that we were part of. But they still have a family. They still have children. I have young couples come to me with concerns like, how do we do this? We wanted to do it right. And that's great. That's a tremendous blessing. Don't lose that. But I was thinking of how that those of us that are older and have older children, I've been reflecting on our families a bit. And just thinking how where we started over time to now where we're at today. A lot of growth, a lot of change. Some of you have married children. There's grandpa and grandmas in here now. A lot of blessings, a lot of great changes. But I was just thinking of how over time, Nate was talking about the true Christianity, and I was thinking how over time, you know, Christianity is a lifestyle, but over time, we tend to get lax at times. We find those plateaus where we just kind of coast along. And we start to lose purpose. We start to lose our vision. And we start to change our ways. So a question I'd have for us today is, are you satisfied with where your family is today? Are you satisfied? And it's interesting that I've noticed this. This one particular thing is, those of you that have older children, I'm talking about older children in their 20s, even some in their teens, but your older children, one thing I've noticed is that they're different than your younger children. And not just age either, or size. But you've changed your training methods. You've changed something. Like in this room, I could point out young men and young ladies that are older that are different than their siblings. There's a different method being used. And I don't say that it's a good method. I think we ought to revisit that. Have a vision of what we want our children to be. What God wants our children to be. But even in my home, my older boys would tell me, Dad, you never left us do that. Never left us do that. And I start saying, well, you know, son, I was pretty hard. I was probably a little overboard, you know. And they're thinking, uh-uh. And they'll point it out to me at times. You were not overboard. That's not right. It's not going to end up right. And they're telling me in a respectful way. I take that. I bless them for that. But they're telling me that it's not going to turn out right. Because, and they point out down the road where that's going to go. They said, we've seen that in other people. That ain't going to work. And I take that to heart. And so I'm just encouraging us. A lot of you in here have older children. They're walking a beautiful walk. Then when it comes to our younger children, we're starting to lose ground. And that's my burden today. That we, as dads and moms, would revisit our vision for a family. Revisit it. You weren't too strict with your older ones. You didn't have too godly of a vision for your older ones. It's all right. We can backtrack. We can make those changes as we need to. I did, and there's still times I do. I have to. Because you know what? One thing I've noticed over the years, and this is even before I was converted, it was a given to me. He's the youngest or she's the youngest. Guaranteed that child's going to be the most spoiled, rotten little creature in that family. Guarantee it. It works that way. But you know what? In our godly homes, it doesn't have to work that way. It doesn't have to. And God can get a hold of them too and change them. He can. They don't have to stay spoiled. I wasn't picking on anyone, Leah. But that is just my heart, just a little bit of a burden that I have. Because you know what? If we don't get this right, this next generation is going to look altogether different. Altogether different. And I'm not okay with that. And I'm not talking just because you won't wear certain whatever. I'm talking about the heart to truly be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to change. That's going to change. And I'm afraid that it may have a little already. And so I want to encourage us to take this to heart. I've heard comments, we need to focus more on church and not so much on the home. Now that one I've been trying to process in my mind. I have a hard time trying to get my mind around it. Does this mean that parents, as parents we need to focus more on the church and not so much on the home? Or does this mean as the ministry, focus on the church and let my home go? I don't know what that means to you. I'm not sure which way that comment needs to be taken. But I will say this about the comment. Either way, it's a leaven of wrong thinking. It will not come out right. It will not. It won't come out right. You're responsible for your home. You're responsible for your home. If you're an adult, you got married, you have children, you're responsible for that. Whether you want to be or not, you are. And if you're an adult, and there's some cases in this world that there's children and there is no marriage, you're still responsible for those children. That's your home. You're responsible. And you know, as a ministry, we're responsible for the church. What is the church? Is it this building? Is my job to do the maintenance on the building? I can, and that would be easy. No, the church is the people. The church is us. That's who the church is. That's us. So now that directly ties us in the ministry back into your family. Now, that puts us all together. And so that comment, those thought pattern, it's a wrong thinking pattern. It's a leaven of wrong thinking. It'll destroy your family. It'll destroy many others if we sow that. It's not going to come out right. So yeah, my heart is, think about where you started. Think about what your vision is. And for you younger ones, if you don't have a vision, think about it. Think about it. Because if you don't have one, you will not make it. Your children will not make it. People without a vision will perish. Not a suggestion. That's a promise. You're going to perish. You need to have a vision. If we take it lightly, we're not going to have a future. There will be no, we won't have generations coming after us walking in truth. We won't have it. Just think about your children. Think about it. Now, some of you are quite a bit younger and you just have your first one. That's all right. Let your mind wander a little further. Think about your grandchildren. Think about it. And there's some in here that would probably be close to old enough to have great grandchildren. Think about it. I'm not there, and a lot of you aren't, but are you okay with the direction that you are setting and establishing? Are you okay when that thing keeps right on snowballing? Are you okay with that picture in my house with my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren around me? Am I okay with that, or does that thought unsettle me a little bit? I know of dads and moms in here that are not thrilled with where some of their children, which direction have gone, okay? I know of some that have come to me and expressed deep pain because now they have grandchildren, and what about my grandchildren? Those things have been expressed. So I'm telling us, brothers and sisters, don't take this lightly. You young people, you want to establish a family. What's the end result? What do you want? I think of my grandmother. She's 99 years old. Very coherent. You can still talk to her and carry a conversation. And if I remember right, I think there's 500 some people at this point in time, if she'd have the whole family back home together, going down to the great, I'm not sure how many grandchildren. But if we were all to gather there today, it would be more than this room could handle in seating. And it was a sobering thought to me, am I okay with that picture? I'm not talking about my family coming together. I'm talking about the choices that I have made as a dad that started this journey. Am I okay with where that's going? Is that okay? Or am I okay with my older children? Yeah, they carry the same vision as I do. Love it. But now my younger ones, a little different. And then my youngest one, absolutely different. Am I okay with that? Or does that concern me? That concerns me. That concerns me. That's why I honestly ask the questions to some of your brothers. What do you see in my family? Do you have concerns with me or the direction that we're going? Because I need that kind of support. And the thing I don't want to do is make excuses to make all that okay when it's not okay. And just because you had trouble maybe earlier in your life, don't trade that for today. Change it today. It's all right. I didn't get everything right when I first started. And there's still times I make mistakes. It's okay. Change it and get it right. There's enough brothers in here to help us along the way. And if we don't have that vision, we can't see that clearly, we'll do a couple of things. We'll either smooth over the Christian living. We'll become what Nate called nominal Christians. We'll smooth everything over. Or we'll do this other thing. We'll sit down. And I believe in practical brotherhood agreements. I do. I think they're good. It just brings some clarity and brings some togetherness in them areas. But the other thing I don't want to do is because you and your family or me and my family are not willing to put our shoulder to the plow and walk in an upright way, a respectful way together, I don't want to. Let's have a brothers' meeting. Now let's say we need to spell out how many buttons he can have on his shirt. We need to tell him, we need to say this. I don't want to go there. Because just the same as living this smoothed over Christian life is going to be just as deadly when you go down the road where we need to have a book that's that thick and take weeks to get through it and still don't know what it all says. It's not going to bring life. One side is going to bring dead spiritual life, even though they profess it loosely. The other side is going to bring dead spiritual life, and they won't profess much of it. It brings immorality and dark sins like that show up quicker than they do on this side. I don't promote either side. My point is, we need to live life the real and right way for Christ Jesus. And I believe in a practical coming together. I've said that. But it'll do two things when we start taking lightly our families. When we start taking our family life lightly, we'll have to change some things. And so I want to encourage us. Let's take a look at, as families, at our families, let's take a look at them. Put our shoulder to the plow. Don't look back. Anytime somebody's plowing, they look back. You farmers know this better than anybody. That old row goes like that right there. But if you're farming, you're plowing, you look, you got a mark. That fence post right there is my goal. You get down there and you look back, and that's pretty straight because you didn't take your eye off the goal. Let's do that as families. Let's have a goal. Let's have a vision. I guess my burden comes from, I can't stand the thought of my family going the wrong way. And then I look at all the families in here, and I can't stand the thought of any of your children going the wrong way. I can't stand that thought. That's not acceptable. That's not okay for me. I want all of us. I want all of us to make it. Each one of your children. Our families, we can't take them lightly. The scripture is full of different accounts, lots of verses that support strong families. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. I'm going to read these few verses. And this is in context of a family and a problem in the family. This is the context. And what I want to share is, let's deal with what we need to deal with. If there's things we need to. But using this just to see that family is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Because, you know, if you got rebellion in the camp, it's like leaven. It just keeps right on going. It affects that family, that family. But if we say, you know what, I got a problem, I need help, and it's known here, we need help, we're together, that'll stop that. That can't keep going. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 through 21. If a man have a stubborn or rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and Israel shall hear and fear. I'm not promoting that we stone our children at all. I'm promoting that, take a look how serious God took a look at a family. He said, you let that there, it's gonna just permeate and affect everybody. But if you take care of that, it'll help the rest of your family say, yep, that's not the way we want to go. Dad says, I'm on board. Whether their heart's truly engaged or not, that's besides the point. But they'll reap blessings from that simple obedience. Families are a serious matter to God. Here's another thought for us to ponder. If families aren't so important, then why in 1 Timothy 3, 4, it's the qualifications of an elder and deacon. Why is that in there? If families aren't important, then why is it important that I as a minister have my family in order? Pretty important, aren't they? And you know, that scripture is saying, if someone is called to this office, he's got to have this. Simply, and it's also in referring to every, that should be the goal of every man. Every man should have a goal of having his family in order. This to me is indicating it's very important. And it's also important because it will qualify or disqualify you to serve in whatever office you are called to serve in. If your family's in order, that's one of the qualifying points of, and if it's not, it's a disqualifying factor. No. So that tells me it's very serious. And to those of us that are ministers in here, your ministry is not more important than your family. It is not. Your ministry is not more important than your family. And so if our families are needing, if we need some time, as the ministry, make it known. Because your family is more important than your ministry. You know, they took it very serious on training their children. It was common in the Hebrew culture that the age of 10. How many 10-year-olds do we have in here? Raise your hands high. I want to see them. 10 years old. Just a couple. Okay. At the age of 10, they could memorize the first five books of the Bible. They could memorize the Torah. And you know what? Who all likes reading through Leviticus? That's a fun book to read through, right? That's not a fun book. It is not like, wow, look what Joshua did. Oh my, look what they did here. No, it's all the law, the book of the law. Don't do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's not a book that catches my interest and I just sit there and can't stop reading. But that was one of those books that they memorized at the age of 10. Did they take serious family? I think they did. They took serious in what they were teaching him. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart from it. Train means to narrow, figuratively, to initiate or discipline. You know, training children brings rest to us. As parents, training our children should bring rest to us. It should bring peace to us. In Isaiah, you know, if we train children in the way God wants us to, in Isaiah 32, it tells us, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness, quiet. Righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. A home where you stop training, you stop teaching, you stop directing is not a home that is quiet. It is not a home that is full of rest. It is absolutely none of those things. It's not a peaceful home. It's not a very well connected home. A trained child will bring joy. And in the epistles of John, he's reflecting to a dad to his son. A trained child brings joy. And he's telling them here, he says in 2 John 1, 4, he says, I've rejoiced greatly that I've found my children walking in truth. And that's a picture of family, picture of a dad over his children, rejoicing that they're walking in truth. That's the picture he gives us here. He says again that he rejoices. He has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in with the Lord. Teaching our children. You know, brothers and sisters, it's important to teach our children that their choices will have consequences. Your choice is going to have a consequence. Good or bad. You make a bad choice, you're going to reap from it. You make a good choice, you'll reap from it. Choices have consequences. They will either bring a blessing or a curse to yourself or to those around you. And sometimes, you know, we as parents, we get tired. We start getting weary. We start backing off. We quit or we take different approaches because we're afraid of the outcome. We're afraid of the outcome. So sometimes, yeah, we'll just back off. Don't put too much pressure on. Don't ask too much from him. It really makes him irritable, makes her angry. You know, and that's just no fun in the home. I'm not in the mood for that anymore. You know, if I say something, they're going to stomp off, won't talk to us for a while, or won't talk to us until we finally say, I'm sorry, and you weren't in the wrong. Because child training, giving direction in our home, is supposed to bring us rest and peace when it's done. Just because sometimes our children don't like the pressure, that's all right. You don't have to turn it down. Just help direct it in the right way so they can succeed. I was thinking the other day, I was training a horse. You know, a horse that's left alone, it brings its owner shame. It's just not a lot of good to it. A child that's left alone brings his mother shame. But I was thinking of a horse. He's worthless. If he's not trained, he's pretty worthless. He's full of bad habits. And the only reason he's full of bad habits is not his fault. he was not trained any differently. So it's not his fault. It's, if I'm the horse owner, it's my fault. I was thinking of this the other day when my daughter was wanting me to throw her up on top of a horse. So Elliot has a horse and heard him and Stephanie ride it. And it's 15 hands. That's about 60 inches. It's a little too tall for them just to climb up. So they need other means of getting up there. And oftentimes is, hey, can you help me get up there? So I thought to myself, well, there's no reason that this horse can't learn another trick. There's no reason he can't pick him up. And so I taught him to go pick him up. I don't have to pick him up no more and put him on there. And so what I did was I trained him to come over to the fence. I climbed on top of the top rail, and I told him to come over to me so I could get on. And he didn't. He had no idea what I was telling him. I never taught him that before. So I took my training stick and I just tapped him on the rump and held onto his head. And he started stomping and kicking because he didn't like the pressure. It was just too much. Like, what are you asking of me? I'm not doing anything. And then as soon as he took one step my direction, I stopped and rubbed him with that stick. And I said, good job. And we did it again. And he went away. And I kept tapping, just gentle tap. And finally he came my way a couple steps. Oh, good job. And I kept doing that. Within 5 minutes, this horse would come over to the fence. Now, after about a 15-minute session, then I left Stephanie have a turn at it as well. We can go to the fence. We don't have a training stick. And we say, come here. And this horse will just step on over here right beside the fence. And if you don't stop saying it, he'll smash the fence and your leg. Point is, he's valuable. He hated pressure. He hated pressure. You know what? We all hate pressure. None of us do. Our children dislike pressure. But you know what? Life is full of pressure. Life is so full of pressure. You dads and moms, you face pressure every day. Go to work, you're dealing with a customer, you're dealing with this, you broke down here. It's pressure. You got to get this done. You moms are at home cleaning, baking, doing all your things that you do, and now gardening on top of it. You got a lot of pressure because the children need this and they need that and you need to get this done, and pressure. Life is full of it. And so we need to teach our children to be able to handle pressure. It's okay to put pressure on our children and ask something of them and expect the right result. Expect the right choice. Just as simple as, you know, thinking of this pressure thing, sometimes our children, they just don't want to do anything. Well, I'll give you an example. Some people came to pick up a horse yesterday. And so I took the horse to the trailer. And they brought to my attention that the horse don't like to go in the trailer. And I was like, I didn't say nothing, but I was thinking, oh boy, this could be a chore. Because you're dealing with a big horse, and I won't say my weight, but I'm not nearly in match with that. So in about 5 minutes, that horse was willing to go in that trailer. And I'm going to say probably 10 minutes. That horse, he would go in the trailer with me in about 5 minutes. But in about 10 minutes, I could stand at the gate and tell him to go in, and the horse would go in. And then I would make it stay in there until I wanted it to come out, and I'd tell it to come out. How did it learn that? Because the first thing I did when I walked up the trailer, it screamed and said, no way, I'm not going in there. And it threw itself back and threw a tantrum. Do children sometimes act like that? I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. And they throw a tantrum. Maybe it's not as drastic. But it's okay to put a little pressure on that. Say, well, if you don't want to do that, then I'll give you the opportunity to do this. You don't want to do this not so bad of a job? Well, go ahead and do this job then. That's fine. Oh, no, go ahead and do that now. Learn from that. That's okay. And that's all I did to that horse. I said, oh, you don't want to go in there? Well, how about you run a 10-foot circle around me once and see if your legs get tired and you like doing that. We'll do that a little bit. We'll go over there. You want to go in? Nope, not yet. All right, more circles. Okay, how about you back up for a while? All I did is made that horse think about other things and how miserable it is outside that trailer. In a little short order, I wasn't pulling on that horse. I don't like to pull my horses in the trailer. We work together. In a short order, that horse was just very willing to. First time, she thundered in that trailer. Like, fine, I'll go. Well, that's not good attitude. So we did it several more times. It got to the point where, you know what? It's just easier doing it his way than it is mine. Because I do it just when he asked me to. There's no pressure. There's no problem. And you know what? We can use some of those thoughts and methods with our children. I'm not saying hold them on a string and run them 10-foot circle around you. But we can, in a gentle way, give direction. And expect some results from that. Don't just let it go along, fall along the way. Your children can learn that when they're under your roof, they do it the way you want it done. They can learn that. And that's only reasonable. And as they get older, ask them. So when you get your own home, I'm going to move in with you. And we're going to do all kinds of things. And you're going to deal with it. And I'll clean up after us too. Because, you know, once I hit grandpa and grandma stage, I'm moving in with you. And we're going to have all kinds of people over. And I hope your wife's a good cook and she can clean well. That's absurd. While they're under your roof, why can't they learn to be respectful? Do it your way. Even the simple thing, I'm going to tell you, even the simple things of walking out of your front door dressed inappropriately, that's your fault, not theirs. They're responsible as well, but that's your fault. You're the head of the home. Put an end to it. Some pressure, teaching, guidance, direction. Think of it as our children are always willing. They want to do what's right. But because we as parents, we get scared of what might happen, we start stepping back. We start stepping back. And to the point, we'll allow them to walk out that front door and disrespect the entire church. The church said, you know what? We feel this is a good place to be. It's a good place to be. And you'll let them walk out your front door disrespecting that, violating that. And yet, when they committed to the church, they said, we want to be part of it. We want to build it up. And if anybody sees anything, oh, come talk to me. Just think about it. Just think about it. It don't make sense. I remember an account years back. There's some young men went to Bible school. It wasn't in this church setting. They went to Bible school. And that Bible school had a strict dress code. And it says, you dress this way, men. Women, you dress this way. And this is how it's going to work. And if you don't, then don't come. That's really what they were trying to tell you. Because they were trying to deal with some issues that always seemed to rise. And so they just kind of put some order in it. And for you to go to a week of Bible school and you can't bow down to some direction? Seriously? What are we going to Bible school for? But these young men went to Bible school, and so some of the dress code, they directly violated it. And they're sitting there, and some of the principals come up and say, hey, what's going on? And then they asked them to leave. If you're going to be that way, we're not having that. You can change your clothes and come back, but not here. I mean, there's several hundred students. And those men had the means to dress appropriately. They had it all. They had the clothing. But you know what? Those men were responsible. Those young men were responsible, absolutely. But I want to tell you who was more responsible. Their dad and mom for letting them walk out that door. I take that responsibility. If I knowingly know my children are going to walk out inappropriately, that's my fault. If I let it go and don't say anything, that's my fault. Pressure is one of those things you can't get away from. You'll face it as an adult. You'll face it your entire life. You'll face it. But yielding to pressure correctly is the key. Yielding to pressure correctly is the key. A simple no from your dad and mom is pressure. That's pressure. Oh, no. Yeah, I want to do that. No, we're not going there. That's pressure. How you yield to that pressure will affect you. Yielding to it is good, but how you yield is better. if you have a good heart in it. You know, excuse my horse stories. Another young filly that I just started. And I'm running her around pen here. I want her to respect me. I want her to look at me and respect me. And then when I step in her path, I want her to stop and turn around and go the other direction. The first time I did that, she nearly ran over me. No respect whatsoever. A little lesson, that didn't happen again. She yielded to me. She yielded to the pressure that I put onto her, okay? But that wasn't satisfactory to me because when she yielded, she turned on her hindquarter away from me to where her legs were willing to kick me if I got too close. I don't want that. I want her to yield respectfully and face me and turn and go the other way. And it's just like with our children. They can yield to the pressure we give, the right way and the wrong way. But help them. We can help them succeed. And I help that horse succeed by taking some pressure off and letting her look at me, stepping off to the side until her head turned, and then I stepped up and then she went. Two times of that, that's all it took. And she does it right every time. Us as parents being consistent, just teaching, giving direction and not giving up. And just the first couple of times, they learn, you know what? No, they're not going to bend on that. And you know what? I'm starting to appreciate that. I'm starting to appreciate the security it brings to me. All those horses we train, they know that security is with me. Anything away from me is work. Rest is standing beside me at a respectful distance. That's rest. Our children learn the same way. Security, respect, rest, they learn all that. And trust me, I don't treat my children like horses. I don't. But there's a lot of similarities we can learn. And so I want to just encourage us as families. You know, if there's something, another thing is there's something that's, you know, bothersome, scary for you, tiptoeing around our children doesn't take care of the problem. Tiptoeing around our children doesn't take care of the problem. And that probably hit me the hardest when I was riding a horse and there was a scary spot for the horse and I would tense up and grab this thing because I just knew it was going to blow up. And my son said, well, just relax. If you relax, he'll relax and he won't be afraid of it because he's reading you. And I got off and he showed me right away what he meant. And first time, yeah, he just came out a little bit. Next time, he just goes right around like it's not there. I got on. He was concerned about that spot because I tensed up. I was scared of a problem, of a situation that could be a problem. In our homes, we can be scared of things that we think are going to be a problem. Don't shirk back. Don't tense up. Just address it. Just address it. Help your children find rest and not fear. There's pressure in the world. There's pressure in this life all over. There's pressure to adapt to its ways, pressure to go against the truth of God's word. In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about to seek whom it may devour. There's constant pressure from the enemy to get you to change course, get you to go back to your old ways, or just a little bit. Just take a little bit of your old ways in. Just a little sin and do a lot of good. That's still unacceptable in the kingdom. There's all that pressure. And so, brothers and sisters, train your children. Teach them. Teach them how to deal with pressure in life. And not by making their life miserable, but teach them when pressure comes their way, how to handle that. They were just a newly married couple. They had one or two children. I mean, they were just tiny ones. And another child came up and took his son's toy away. That's pressure. That's pressure at a young age. That young son wanted that toy. So what do you as a dad do? What are you going to do, Mark? Is that acceptable to let that little boy take your little boy's toy away? Completely acceptable? Absolutely it is. Teach your son that that's okay. But I'm going to tell you something what this dad did. He marched right over there, took that toy away, and gave it back to his boy. And that was, he was justified because that was his son and he had it first. No. That's just a small instance of pressure at a young age. And it's up to you as dads and moms to help them deal with it. Son, that's okay. He can have it. Look at this toy. It's all right. What about here? We can help them through life when they deal with pressure. And even when they deal with the pressure of, no, I don't want you to do that. No, I don't want you to go there. No, I don't want you to wear that. That's all pressure for our children. But listen, give them another alternative. We as dads can be pretty lazy. No, you're not going to play volleyball. No, you're not going to. But you know what we do? We don't interact with them. We go to Snoozy Land or whatever. We just kind of let them be. Well, help them out. Do something with them. Do something with them. And there's times where they can learn to enjoy a quiet afternoon. That's totally okay too. But too often, we can get in our lazy routine that we just kind of be quiet, I'm sleeping. But no, you're not going there. That doesn't work in the long run. That doesn't bring contentment. There's sadly enough, there's pressure that comes from within the church in a negative way. Discontentment, always something new. Always something new. Not content. That's actually what the Bible says in the end times. People are going to be discontent. So your children want it. It's okay to teach them they can do without. They don't always need everything they want. Whether it's right or wrong that they have it or not, there's a contentment level. There's a contentment level. They don't always need the latest and greatest. They don't always need the latest fads. We can teach them how to be content. But you know what? Sadly enough, a lot, probably more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. And so, sadly enough, it's us as dads and moms that aren't examples of that. The little child, toys taken away. He gets older, toys taken away, and dad says, it's fine. The whole time, he's watching dad. Somebody borrowed this from me. Oh, stewing about it. Business deal, this guy got me. Oh, and he takes avenues to get revenge somehow. Not revenge, just justified. Just level ground. That child is learning that, yeah, you're teaching him one thing, and it's probably right with your mouth, but your life says an altogether different thing. There's more caught than taught. Contentment, friends, teach it by the way you live. Your children can pick that up. They will. Because if your children can't learn with the pressures of home, how will they ever deal with it in life later? Teach our children to be upright, honest, kind, content. How to treat others as they would be want to be treated. Teach them to be okay when people mistreat them. Because, you know, teach them to have a kingdom focus. It's okay. In the Old Testament, you know, they do animal sacrifices, honoring all the feast days. We don't do all those things. But I'm afraid that some of us in our homes have started sacrificing children. Children sacrifice. Do you know they did that in the Old Testament? The children of Israel did that in the Old Testament, and God hated it. They started worshiping Baal, then they started passing their sons and their daughters through the fire. Child sacrifice. But I'm afraid that that comes a little too close to home sometimes. Some of the ways are, I'm busy. Here, watch a video. Here, check this out. I'm busy. Those things are devastating. That's child sacrifice. To turn your child loose with a device and think it's going to come out all right. Turn them loose with the internet Get them a phone way before they need it. I say it's child sacrifice. How do you expect that to turn out right? How? Most adult men, without some kind of help, can hardly refrain from inappropriate sites on the internet. And you give it to your 12-year-old. We let it unmonitored to our children. Think about it. To me, it's pretty serious. What do you expect from the next generation? What do you expect when that's their intake? If we're going to go that way, I will not expect children growing up in a pure, innocent, loving home. There's things going to go wrong in that home, majorly. I think we're very foolish, and I think God is displeased with child sacrifices as such. Lots of things start happening when we start putting our guards down. We allow them to do many things, and they learn from example. We allow them, just being real practical, we'll allow them to sleep in a worship service. We don't teach them the joys of singing in our home because we either listen to music or we have some other kind of entertainment. We allow them to be on their phones or their smartwatches, so busy texting and just always involved in everything else outside and around and never focused on what's being preached. Here's another one we allow. We allow break time. Do you know we do that here? At a certain time, it's time to get up and walk out the door and go to your vehicles and get a soda or just sit out there for a while. That happens here. To me, that's unacceptable. We as dads and moms are sleeping when we let that go on and on. We need to wake up. And trust me, as your children get older, they get real smart. They get real smart. Little Austin there, gave him just a little more time. He might have learned it already. If I squawk a little bit, Dad's going to get up. He's going to take me to the back. He's going to walk around me like this. He's going to do that. You're training him, or he's training you how he wants to be taken care of. He's going to build on that unless you stop it. And I'm not saying it's not time for it. I'm simply saying unless you stop it, he's going to get this big. Gotta go potty, Dad. And away you go. Need a drink, Dad. And away you go. No, you can say, no. You're gonna make a scene. He's training you. And the more he trains him, the more he gets him under his thumb, and Dad just kind of lets it go because you know what the easiest thing to do is not make a scene? Is cater to him so he can get out of there. I know of a little guy that he's a little bit on the spoiled side. He got catered to a little bit too much. But I mean, he was probably yay big, riding around in his mom's cart at the grocery store. And he wanted something. And guess what? Mom said no. Well, she said no at the wrong time. Because the eggs went flying. Stuff started flying out of the cart. She said no. Well, at the grocery store is not where you train your children, by the way. They can learn along the way, yes, but that happens at home. They learn, no, we'll just sit here. You're fine. I'm pretty sure you're not going to dehydrate before we're done. I'm pretty sure. I just took you to the bathroom. Hold it. You'll be all right. Trust me. My boys ran me through that one. That's why I learned that. That's how I learned that. Then they get older. Now they're 12, 13, 14. Now we need to sit out in the vehicle and we need to take a break. We need a Mountain Dew and something to eat. Oh, we're going to die. And I'm not talking about any of you diabetics in here. That's different. You will die. So I want us, as parents, my encouragement is that we stay kingdom focused. My encouragement is that we teach our children how to handle the pressures of life. Noah's a pressure. Yes can be a pressure. They got to deal with your answers. You need consequences when something isn't right. You need to teach them that their choices will have consequences. And I want you also to consider, just reflect back. Go years back. Think, huh, did I really stray from my vision that much? Because oh, so-and-so, they're a lot different than that one. And there's times we need to make a little changes, I agree. But I don't think we need to make them that big. Not that big. Take a serious call. Take a serious call to God's will, God's calling on you as a family man. And you know, you children, I didn't really address much with you at all. But take a serious call and be under their authority. And learning how to deal with pressures in life. Because there's a day coming when your responsibilities keep growing. Your pressure keeps rising. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to handle it? You're going to go hit the low spot of depression? Hit the high side of anxiety, anger, and blow up? Or are you going to find the grace of God to handle it? Don't give up. Keep digging in. Our families are worth every bit of our time. Every bit of it. It's not His will that any one of our children in here perish. It's not. It's not His will that any one of us quit or give up, get too tired. It's not His will. It's His will that we make it to glory for His glory. That's His will. For all of us. So God bless you all.